So I thought I'd share that interesting story. So many other things as well, so many things that are going on. But here we're coming to the most important time of the year, as you know. And I think, you know, as we approach this, it's coming so quickly. And how do we look at these things as we approach with all the things that are taking place in our life? It's a great time right now to focus, as maybe some of you already have consolidated your leavening or are starting to. I know we've got a couple of weeks still left. One thing I did want to point out as well is I'd like to see if we can make, I'll be here on the 20th, which is in 2 weeks once again, and then you'll have the Passover before that, but I'll be here for the first day of Unleavened Bread, and I'd like to see if we can move that to 1 o'clock. So whoever is staying here might be staying here overnight. You won't have to wait till 3, and so we can move that to an earlier time. And what we choose to do, or what you would like to choose to do for the days of Unleavened Bread, if some of you would like to get together, that would be your choice again. So I don't really know the answer to that, just because of the dilemmas that we're in right now. So you might just have to meet with yourselves, or if you want to get together and plan to get together as families, then that can be done as well. So we can talk about that after services. I'd like to see if everybody can be taken care of. And I know it's not a commanded assembly, but it's been a tradition to be able to do that. And if we can all possible make that happen, that would be great. We're just in a different time now, but we're still going to try to plan and prepare to make that happen. And that's the whole point on this. I'd like to talk about this preparation as we approach the Passover. And we go back to Exodus chapter 12. And you know that I've brought this up before with the over 10 years that I've been here. But this is an interesting reflection, again, as we come to this time, because sometimes it doesn't give an answer to the why, but we can put out a couple of guesses. Exodus chapter 12, see, because God is a God of preparation. He has prepared, he's laid the foundation of everything that's happening, even to this time. I'm certain that time goes by pretty quick for God Almighty, too, when it says 1,000 years is like a day to him. This plan goes by quickly. I know he's looking forward to the fruition of this, especially when he looks down on this earth and sees the mess that's happening. But frankly, since he made man, he's looked down and seen the mess that is happening. It's really nothing new. He's seen messes for years, and he's instructing and guiding and called us and educating us so we can be a part of a time to educate the people that this mess doesn't happen again. And we're watching this all around us. How do we learn not to make the same mistakes? In the meantime, we've got to fight a powerful spirit being who broadcasts all these ideas. And you can almost feel it in the air sometimes as you see the negativity and the lying and everything. It just kind of affects us to a point. We've got to figure out a way to hold on to the joy that God's given to us. And then we've got a prime example in our Savior Jesus Christ, who it says in Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him, he endured that time. He knew he had to go through it, but remember what he said to Satan? He said, speed it up. Let's go quick. I want to get this over with. He knew it was going to be a painful time. And many of us will feel the same way as we see everything around us that's just going down. God, speed your kingdom. You know, we still hope to have happiness and live in joy, and we can if we look at it with a different perspective. We can have the same for the joy that was set before us. We can endure this time too. There's preparation and planning that has to take place here. In Exodus chapter 12, the Lord spoke, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months. It will be the first month of the year to you. Speak to the congregation of Israel, on the 10th day of this month, every man will take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for the household. If the lamb household is too small for the lamb, let him take his neighbor next to him according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make count for the lamb. This allowed, by the way, for flexibility within the head of the household to figure how many could come together and eat this lamb. So he specified, but he allowed them to plan this out and to figure out how they were going to do it. But the lamb was chosen on the 10th, and they were to keep it up to the 14th. That tells you something. Why? Nothing else is mentioned throughout the scriptures. Why not the 12th? Why the 10th? And I believe you can probably guess, because long before we get the Feast of Tabernacles started, there's planning that goes on way, way before. Planning starts way before. Planning starts, in fact, we try to get out the places for the feast right around the Holy Days, Spring Holy Days, which was way before the feast would take place, because we know that people have to make flights, they've got a plan, they might have family to figure out how we're going to do this. Every year it seems to be the same thing. It's never easy to get everything sorted out, all the paperwork done. There's so many details. It's preparation. And this was such an important time and such an important moment that God wanted to make sure that you had that lamb. And it took time without all the flocks that were there to go out, and maybe this was done with the child. It would be awesome to be able to take your children to go out to those flocks and go, now I want you to be involved with this, because God's instruction is, I want to take the one, we want to find the one without blemish. We want to find the best one that we're going to sacrifice. What a great teaching lesson, and what a great teaching tool that we have today. Mom, Dad, how come you're putting all that leavening up on the sink that way? What educational lessons that we have through all this to be able to teach, and that's what God has done, even for a more important time and for a spiritual purpose. Let's go over to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22 and verse 13. So we are preparing for something very special. And it's so interesting is we had all these unknowns. I wonder how many lessons have come out of this pandemic that we've had to face. Ways to look at it so differently. And I had a feeling it could be divisive. It has been. Has been divisive. It doesn't necessarily have to be. But say, even if this pandemic eases up, what's next on the horizon? I mean, there's always going to be the flu. I'm sorry that people, if people, Mr. Franks has tried to bring this out for people not to fear it. To be cautious and concerned, sure, to take as best precautions as they can. But I know when Mr. Franks addressed the camp directors, he had mentioned, it's so interesting because people are easy to make judgments, but he goes, say I got 100 calls over here or emails that says I should do more. I got 100 calls over here saying I'm not doing enough. You get both ends of the spectrum from people looking at it in different ways. You might have talked with people that look at it differently. So it's not been an easy thing to go through at all. But it's interesting because if I would tell you that, by the way, in the state of Tennessee, this year, there is going to be at least 900 deaths on the highway or on the roads in Tennessee. Would that stop you from coming to Tennessee to drive? That's a lot of people, isn't it? Over 900 at least. Now, last year, I was using the number 900 for quite a few years because they've got that sign as you go down the interstates and it says the casualties so far. It's been 900, 900. Then one year it went up to 1,200. You would think with all those casualties, you would think, isn't there a way to cut that down? Well, if you could cut down human error, or better judgment, or whatever it might be, or their accidents, and sometimes people are killed. There's people that are killed for all kinds of reasons. This is just another one. But I don't go on the roads in fear. I try to watch. I try to wear a seatbelt. I try to do the best that I can. And where's God's protection among that as well that we pray for every day? So it doesn't have to take our joy and happiness. That's what we'll have to take another look at as well. So we had to do all these preparations and do a webcast, you know, and I look back with all the help that we had, I thought it came together pretty good for what we had, for people to tune into a webcast because that's all that we had to use at that time. Was the ideal? No. Even Mr. Frank said, I would rather have personal services. So that's why we're going for it this year. We're still going to have the masks and the restrictions to the best of our ability, but we're going to go ahead and have it and not just not fear. Well, there was planning and preparation from the very beginning with this entire plan, Christ, the one that was foreordained from the foundation of the world. This was in the plan. God knew that we weren't going to make it. We weren't going to make the right decisions. He knows all these things. He knows. How did he know all those things to tell John in Revelation? How did he know all these things were going to happen in the future? He's God. He knows everything. Luke 22, verse 13. So they went and found it, a room, just as he had said to them, when he says, go prepare a room. So they found it, and they prepared the Passover. When the time had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with longing, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Why did he say that? Why did he say with fervent desire? You know, I believe just as we go through the Passover every single year, do you kind of figure and feel sometimes, I can't wait to get to this point? I just cannot wait. And you really don't have to ever wait to renew your commitment. But this is such a critical time that God put together from the foundation. He foreordained this event to take place, and we observe it and celebrate it every single year. It's so critically important that we start to get the same mindset that Jesus Christ said. I can't wait to do this because it starts to come to the forefront in your mind as a Christian with God's Spirit on how important this time is and what it means to God. Because without this, you can't get to the rest of it. And just as we can witness and be lights to others that know about Jesus Christ, in fact, profess him all the time, they'll go, well, you keep those weird days. Well, we definitely believe, or you don't believe, no, we definitely believe in Christ. We absolutely believe in Christ. He's the foundation. He's the beginning and the end. And we all know it all goes up to the Father as well, though, and his part in it. But Christ is foremost, is such a critical and important part here. The preparation time that goes into this. And now we have a couple weeks to really take a look at this and be better prepared than any time before. We've always talked about the best feast ever. Can this not be the best feast as well within the spring feast? Can this not be the best Passover that you've ever had? But there's got to be preparation and taking time to look and search as we're doing with our leavening to get that out. And just as much, if not more, especially more, should be given to take a look at the leavening that's within our lives. The hidden stuff that you can't always see and have that increased relationship with our Father that he can help us not only to find it, but help us to put it out. Did you ever see somebody that doesn't know what they're doing? They maybe didn't see the way that they were coming across. You know, I don't know of many people. There are some, I realize, cruel people like that. But there are sometimes people, even among the brethren sometimes, that will say something. I've done it. As much as an extrovert can talk, it means the more that we can blow it. See, that's why Solomon said, let your words be few. I find that so wise. And yet, why do I struggle so much to talk so much? So I'm working so hard at saying, you talk. I'm just going to listen here. But it's not easy. It's a challenge. But sometimes people will do things. You've done things and thought, why did I do that? You know, it's just the carnality sometimes will just come out. Why did I snap back at my kid? Why did I snap back at my spouse? Why did I do that? The challenges are always there. Well, he knew that too. He knew the challenges would be. Here's the starting point. Christ knew that. He was going to be dead. He knew that. How would you feel if you knew that? Man, I've got like, wow, by Thursday morning, I'm going to be in the grave. But he also knew the rest of it. You know, I would like to say, probably if I was going to be going through that, some kind of pain, do it fast. Whatever it is, do it fast. I want to get through this. Because it was a horrible thing, as you know, what he suffered for that purpose. But he saw beyond that, didn't he? He saw beyond that. So do we. Why such fervency, though? Let's continue to see the answer in verse 16. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So, Passover time during the millennium. You know, that time will be here. And it's so difficult when you live in this nation. I mean, I came today, the pandemic is going, you wonder about people's jobs, and it's hard to get into this parking lot because of the line at the Starbucks. Starbucks. And we've got people go through with the world, Starbucks? We don't have coffee here. We can't. That's a luxury. You know, that's what's so hard sometimes. We've had it so good and have seen it so good. How do we pray for that kingdom to come unless we really do see what's going on throughout the world? Even at this point, the evening to begin his suffering and imminent death, Jesus was looking forward to the kingdom. He knew what his apostles were going to have to go through. He knows what we're going to have to go through. Always has. And gives us the strength and the points throughout the scripture of how we can look at this and envision this as well. We just get too caught up with the things. Oh, I know how that goes. I've got stuff to do. I've got things to do today. Anybody here doesn't have anything to do? Come on over. I've got tons to do. And I know everybody here does too. There's always something that's happening, something that we have to do. So what can we do to approach and take the Passover with this type of attitude and outlook? I'd like to give 7 points today. You've heard of this. I'm not going to go through all of the 7 laws of success, but some of them point out to this. It should be something that we should be successful at. The first one is to set goals. Did you ever do that? How long has it been since we've set goals? Because we can get so bogged down with things, how do we even put those in order? Then you realize that now we have to prioritize, but then the priorities get kind of whacked out of shape because you would rather do the less painful one first. And so that's going to create an unsuccessful situation. I know how that goes as a kid. I wish I would have just gone ahead and eaten my greens first. I could have enjoyed the rest of the meal. Instead of eating the good stuff first, and then all this, I'm suffering, kind of going, after I eat all this good stuff, now I'm going to have to eat the bad stuff. Just go ahead and eat the good stuff first. Some just learn a harder way. Set goals. In Matthew chapter 6, there's got to be a focus here. What's most important in your life? What's most important in your life? You know, this Bible study program, by the way, there's 2 ways. I just love the way these guys have come together to put this. You can go online and do it. I remember when my mom first got the 62-lesson correspondence course. How many remember that one? You remember I think it was 62 or 63, something like that, over 60 courses. And she could not wait to get her next one. And she would type out on a piece of, what do they call that, onion paper or whatever, on the typewriter that had the ribbon. That was before, so that dates me, that's for sure. But anyway, she would type out all those lessons and couldn't wait to get to the next one. Here are these, you can fill them out online. Yeah, there's different ways to do it, but it's an awesome review. Why? Because you could say, well, I took that stuff. I know that stuff, but it'll be interesting because there are some quizzes there to see the things that we still don't know or the things that we forgot. It's a wonderful review. And a good testament for us because we are going to have to be teaching these things. If we've got the focus and the vision, you are going to be teachers. That's what God has destined us for. A lot of people are going to have to know about this way. And we've practiced it, we've researched it, we're looking at it, and we're still refining today. And it's an exciting time. Verse 24 of Matthew 6, no man can serve 2 masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both. Therefore, I say to you, don't take any thought for your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor yet for your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And sometimes we get lost in that. That's the whole point. Not that we don't have to get clothes and think about what we're going to wear and think about planning in that way, but he says, don't let this bog your mind down. You already know you have to do that, but remember the things that are most important. If we've committed ourselves to God, then that's what this recommitment is all about. Help me to refocus and get this right so my thinking can be like your thinking, not on the physical plane. And he knows how difficult it is because we're physical human beings. What is your focus? What's truly important? And he uses examples, the fowls of the air. They don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more better than they? He had this plan. Why do you take thought for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, neither do they sow. And yet I say that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And sometimes that's where it says, stop and smell the roses. Take a good look at what God has made. And fascinating when you really do take time to do that. So every Friday night I put on Planet Earth and I see what God has made and the beauty of it and the planning. Just in the fish. All the fish, you get these big swarms of fish, and all of a sudden this big humpback comes up and goes whomp. And another one will go whomp. All these swarms of fish, and you go, they're taking all the fish. No, God's going, I'm making more. Always has been that way. Always has that balance in nature where he's provided for his creation. And he's saying, take a look at that so you don't forget. Stop and take a look at this. Verse 30, so if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, of you of little faith? So all these things we get pounded with, I know and realize the brethren throughout the churches have gotten a pounding and have really taken some hard hits and battles and losses and sicknesses in so many different ways, and it's hard sometimes because they keep coming at you, and I keep hitting the sun button. Pray for this person. Pray for that person. It's not easy. Never, frankly, has been. And the thing today is we just get quick internet access, so it doesn't take weeks before you find out that somebody over in Africa is sick and it comes via the mail and then announced. Now we get instant, and it's a lot. So it can distort sometimes our vision and thinking where God's got all this. Let's do our part. Let's say a prayer for this person. I mean, really, if you thought about it, we can devote hours and hours into praying for so many people that are sick or have some kind of need. So we have to have a balance in that too. But just to be thinking for other people takes us out of the self mode. Take no thought saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, verse 31, where will we be clothed? Because all these things the rest of the world seeks for. For your Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That should be a memory scripture for us. It's so important. Seek first and his righteousness. And everything else God will take care of. So take no thought for tomorrow. Does it mean you don't plan and don't think? No, we have to understand the balance there. Don't let that overly concern you to where it gets you anxious. Anybody been anxious lately? Anybody worry? It's a struggle, isn't it? So God says, don't be anxious, Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing. Oh, that's easy for you to say. It is, isn't it? But see, that's the practice. Wouldn't it be great if you finally get to the point where you don't worry about anything? Is that possible? I think so. Once again, does it mean that you can't be concerned about something? Can we not be? Am I not concerned? I mean, when does a father stop being a father or a mother stop being a mother? Never. Never. You're always going to love your kids. You're always going to have a certain amount of concern. But to worry? No. That shouldn't be in there. So, if we're not there yet, wouldn't that be a pretty good goal? Well, how do you fix that? See, sometimes it makes people feel good to worry because you think that you're doing something good. It does no good. It takes your body down, and it doesn't fix the situation at all, does it? And it takes you away from your counting on God and putting him first. So that would be a good focus. If you have worried, And you say, well, yeah, it's easy for him to stand up and say that. I've got to fight the same thing. Same exact thing. But I would rather not worry. I would rather say, hey, by the way, I'm doing a lot better at this. I really had, because has it affected your sleep? Has it affected you physically? It sure does. Absolutely. But I've said before, there are things I've worked along the way. I don't mind sharing those. Because when somebody will cut me off, I don't have a reaction anymore. Oh, what did he do? It's interesting. Sometimes I may start to think about that, but I clamp down on it right away. Because I know I've been really working on that one to not get mad, yell at somebody. Because I realize, you know, unless you knew that they planned on doing that, I don't think many do that at all. They'll just pull in front. They didn't see you. Maybe something else was on their mind. Maybe they're on some kind of medications that take away from that type of thing as well. You don't know. We don't know. Are we letting it affect our day? That really, some people, they get so mad that it affects their operation. They'll go home and it'll mess up their entire family because somebody did something unexpected. No, these are the things now that God's people, you know about the Passover. We know about the physical logistics, sometimes not always. It's going to be interesting. I have a feeling that it's going to work out just fine. It'll be fine because I know God's people know how to do things, how to fix things. We'll make it happen. We'll take care of things because some of you people who were at Jekyll Island back in the 60s found out how to fix things and services went on. And they did this year, too. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to have to go A and B groups in Myrtle Beach. It worked out fine. It worked out just fine. So we make that happen, and then we look at the deeper things. What's bothering people? What's taking away their joy? Is it something physical? Did the waiter send you a bad piece of meat, and now you're going to get mad at him when he didn't fix it? How do we handle that? We get those all the time. You know, on the way to the feast this past year, I picked up my grandson, was able to get him. Thankfully, I was a little bothered, but I didn't think he'd be able to come. Prayed about it. We got him. Yes. So I pick him up, and so I'm going through Greenville, South Carolina, and somebody told me about this Mac Speed Shop where there was this beef rib. It's so hard to find beef ribs, and I love beef ribs. So I'm stopping at the beef rib place, sat down. He wanted chicken wings and whatever the dip was for the kids. That's his favorite. And so I got my beef rib. And it came out, and it was horrible. It was bad. It was like yesterday's that they put in the fridge and then came out and warmed it up. And I realized I didn't say anything. I went ahead. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to the feast, ate it. And I thought, you know, I'm probably not going to go back there again. And then I realized I didn't do that right. I didn't do that right. There's nothing wrong with saying, this is not good, and sending it back. And if you can't make it that way, because I've certainly had a better beef rib there before than that one, nothing wrong with sending it back if the cook messes up. I don't think they're trying to mess up, but sometimes they may do it too good. Maybe the people won't say anything or do anything. Nothing wrong with what you pay for, having it measure up to a certain standard. It's always how you do it. Should I yell at the waiter? I didn't yell at the waiter. I didn't say anything. Should I shorten my tip? No, because it wasn't their fault. You see, all these little specific things that will come up from time to time that a Christian has to look at how we respond and how we deal. It doesn't mean you don't do anything. Sometimes it may don't do anything. And that's where the wisdom comes in. But God said, take no thought for tomorrow in verse 34, because tomorrow will take care of itself. Tomorrow is going to come, and it's going to go as well. So what does setting goals mean to us? I go through a long spiel on that kind of thing, but we have to look back and go, what have we been doing? Have we been just letting life take us? Or are we making plans for each and every day? Somebody told me recently, this was really, really interesting, when things get so overwhelming, and they do, just so overwhelming, wow, you know, phone calls, texts, everything. It just, so much. And you got to stop. I go, wait a second, I need to get an accomplishment in here. So do one thing. And somebody called it, get a win in there. When you feel you're taking some losses, I don't care what it is. You know, clean up the sink, get a win, whatever it is. Establish some wins in there, get some successes in there so the failures don't seem like so overwhelming all the time. God is working with it. It's not always going to be easy. Second point is apply what we've learned. Apply what we've learned. Question, just what have we learned? Have you thought about what you've learned this year? Do you think we should have learned? For those that have been in the church for 40 plus years, which we're getting more to that point now, it used to be when you were asked at the feast, how many have been here 30 years? You didn't get a whole lot. Now, a lot of people are doing that. What are we learning? Are we learning? What is it that we're learning? Because we should be. You know the parable of the talents. God said, I've given you talents. What are you doing with your talent? What have you done with it? Remember the response? The one says, I was afraid. What is the biggest thing that you can see today in society? F-E-A-R, fear. And we shouldn't be fear. What scripture would you turn to for that? You remember 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, where it says, stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. And so once again, this is a great time. Power, love, and a sound mind. That's what's supposed to be evident in the people of God. Power, love, and a sound mind. Power to accomplish, to get things done. You know, if things aren't working, we take a look at why. Why are they not working? Oh, it sounds like my brakes are getting a little bit down. Fix them. I ran into the back of the garage. What do I do next time? Pump them. I learned something. Learned something physically. A lot of things that we learn. Keep learning. Jesus learned, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. You can't say we don't have a God that doesn't understand physical pain. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's go to verse 8, Hebrews 5 and verse 8. Though he was a son, yet, well, let's go back a little bit. Talking about Christ becoming the high priest, verse 5. He said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you, as from his father. That's what his father said about him. As it says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation from all who obey him, called by God. And we have been called by the same God, called by the same Father. And we do the same thing. Did you ever get to the point where we felt so desolate in that sense that you cried out before God? That's the same thing that our Savior did. He cried out too because he knew. In fact, he knew what he was going through. We don't always know. Sometimes that unknown causes that fear to come. And we have to know that God is not a God of the unknown. He's the God of the known. He learned as well. You know, Paul learned. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, when he was called, you think, well, this is a guy that knew everything. I mean, Paul was a Pharisee. This guy studied the law. He knew the law. Look at the books that he wrote. And all the books that he wrote about things that he learned and what he knew, what he grew in. and how much actually he didn't know, the things that God showed him. Philippians 4, verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be in you. So all the things that he learned and saw, he wrote. He wrote down. And what did he write down? He wrote down all the epistles and letters because of what? Problems that were in the church and how they should deal with them. That's what all the epistles were about. They weren't just letters to go, hey, how are you guys doing? Good to see you doing okay. There are always issues. There are problems. Are they in the church today? Absolutely. Why? Because we're all human. We're all carnal, but we're all learning to think more like God, and that's the thing. Can we really do that? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We're learning through all that we've gone through. You know, the Passover is not the time. There is a time when, I know there's a religion of this world, they take these whips and they ceremonial beat themselves. I mean, they don't lash themselves, but they go around and showing that they're beating themselves. And sometimes you and I will do that too. And God says, I don't want that. I want repentance. I want a change of heart, and I want a change in the way that you think. How's that? Think more like me. Read more about me. Think more like me. That's what God is saying. Apply what we have learned. And then it's an application, isn't it? Luke chapter 6. Luke says it's an application of what we've learned. Sometimes when you look and think about these things, it'd be so great if God's people got close enough to share maybe a few more things about our lives that would encourage and maybe help. I try to share things that I've learned and grown in. When I say, I ran into my son's refrigerator, that doesn't show a lot about my breaking knowledge. You know, but I'm grateful to say I learned. I learned something, and it didn't cost me severely. But we all learn and grow. Many times we learn and grow through mistakes. And God doesn't say, "I don't want you to beat yourself now." Learn. What have you grown? What have you learned? Can you help somebody now? I bet you can. I bet you can. Luke 6, verse 46. Luke 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? For here he comes and says, here's my saying, and does them, I'll show you like he is. A man building a house who dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. But you heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And we've seen that in our lives. Why, people that didn't build that solid rock and foundation. You know how far we've come in that sense. If you want to win. If I would ask you, I could ask you a lot of questions, which we can go through some tests on your biblical knowledge and how much you know about the Bible. And be careful on that, because you'll find out how much, again, we don't know many specifics. And you know where the scripture might be. We're still learning and growing with our application for being able to teach other people. But we are learning. Who's the head of the church today? Question. Who's the head of your church? What would you say? Well, you could probe for more information, but it'd be interesting. I think a good answer from a true Christian would be Jesus Christ. Second one could be digging for more information. Are you talking about the spiritual head, or are you talking about the physical corporation per se? But I think we distinctly see the difference in that, in how that applies. Many people will say God's people are scattered today. I believe that's true. And tares are scattered too, though, as well. Application and learning. Okay, after application, that's a good review for us to come before God in preparation for the Passover. think about the things that we have learned so we can be thankful for those, and then ask in his mercy he would continue to show that we can grow and use the talent that he's given to us, that we could become more of a profitable servant and not just we come and do our thing. You know, how much opportunity? We used to have a whole lot better opportunity, didn't we, when you could serve? People got together to do fruit baskets. We had choirs. We had opportunities to go serve widows because you would get together with a group of people and go do that. We're scattered, and it's not always easy to find something where we can benefit and help somebody else. But we can certainly pray for other people, and that does count. And when the opportunity comes to serve each other, we can do that as well. The third point is enduring. Endurance. Matthew chapter 10. So far, this is a win. So far, this is a win. Why do I say that? Because it's obvious. The evidence is right in front of me. I'm here. You're here. But that's not all, because it says, he who endures, bump, bump, bump. And you know that. So this is not over. So as you know, there's quite a few here. Wow, never thought it would be like this when I came into the Church of God and I was baptized and there was my church and there was my family. I looked at family more extended, not just my family. In fact, the church family was closer than my physical family, close to these people. And then the power of Satan, you know, devastated it. And what? Took most of the people, most of them. Well, when you think about it, as I mentioned before, Satan originally, because of his merchandising, as it says in Ezekiel, he sold his stuff to a third of the angels. Did you ever think about that? These angels got, I don't think there were any like really smart ones and then dumb ones. I don't think God created a dumb spiritual creation. They knew what God laid out. They just were sold the goods that Satan made look so good, and now we're witnesses and examples to this day. And you know what's so interesting? Oh, it's so tough. Because we go through life as a teen, young adult, or whatever, we make these mistakes, and then you try to teach them to your kids. And you know, because I didn't buy what my parents told me, and I'm expecting my kids to buy what I tell them? So many learn the hard way, don't they? And you could have different examples of that throughout your family, and it's cost some of them dearly. So, and all of us have fallen and made those mistakes. Spiritually, this is what we're doing, and then taking this application, and then we're supposed to be hanging in there and enduring. Verse 16 of Matthew 10, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they'll deliver you up to the councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. So what do I say when I go before them? We've not yet maybe endured what others previous to us have had to go through, but you know it's getting worse. We're all seeing the handwriting in the wall. How much of our freedoms will finally be taken from us? You know that if Satan is out there, they're going to less like people that love God. They're going to look at us as a leftist or a rightist or whatever supremacist that you might see because of the way that we believe about what the Bible says. And yet it's so unfair because you know God says not to hate anybody. I hate what they do. But there's other people out there saying, well, you can't be a part of this unless you sign a paper that says I support this. That was there long ago. It just is getting more specific now. But before, if you wanted to join a homeschooling umbrella group, many had to sign a paper that says I believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going, why in the world are you homeschooling? And that becomes the stigma on you being a part of that group. Can't you just say I believe in God and that's good enough? No, for some reason, that was stuck in there. I know some people will learn thankfully, I was able to start my own homeschooling group because I was a pastor in Alabama. Every state was different on that. So a lot of people struggled with that. and they weren't going to sign that paper. They had to find an alternate method on what they were going to do. And same coming up. And it gets to be the worst, as you know, when this mark of the beast comes into the picture. And we're looking at different forms and possibilities on how this could happen. We're watching. We're trying to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Encouraging thing in verse 19, when they deliver you up, don't worry about how or what you should speak. Just as I went back to Matthew, don't worry about it because God knows, he sees you. If he's called you, he knows exactly what's going on with you, where you're at specifically. It will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it's not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. If you've watched Ezekiel, I thought it was very interesting as he could say nothing for so long. He could only say what God told him to speak. It was, I believe, over a year that he could not speak and go, hey, how's it going over there? Hey, what's the weather going to be like? He couldn't say anything. And even as you get to the time of Christ, when John the Baptist was born and his dad couldn't speak anything until God gave him. So you see, it can happen. God can give you exactly the words that you're going to say, but are we wise enough to know that time is there and go, God, I need your help right now? And because of your relationship with him, bam, there it is. But it says, don't worry. Now, brother will deliver up brother, father his child, children will rise up against parents, cause them to be put to death. You'll be hated for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end, the same will be saved. Endurance, critical. Critical that we never give up. And it's so encouraging as a pastor. It's discouraging when I see somebody leave, depart for the most trivial of things. As I say, I really, really am encouraged by the people that will say, doesn't matter what it takes, I'm going to be there. God commands us to worship on his Sabbath day, and I've got a foundation of that. That's what I believe. I'm going to be there. Doesn't matter because this person did this, or I got to wear that, do that. I'm there, and I'm going to worship God. So you get some good foundations there, but then it's other things as well. So we're learning. We're learning and growing. Fourth point here. Everyone needs this. Everyone needs this. Now we get some forward motion here. Encouragement. Encouragement. Do you remember when they had to hold Moses' hands up during that time of battle? You'll find that in Exodus 17, verse 11. He needed encouragement. You know, and imagine how much encouragement he would need after he saw all the negative stuff by the stubborn, stiff-necked people that were around him. Encouragement, Hebrews chapter 3. This book is filled with so many things of learning and growing, even through our Savior. Hebrews 3, here's a beware. Hebrews 3, verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Okay, isn't that a good point for Passover? Remember the guy who said, when Christ said, do you believe? And he says, I do forgive my unbelief. Do all of us have that amazing amount of faith? You know, when it's a struggle from day to day to face the things that we have, do we think that our faith is not damaged sometimes, brought down? Maybe through a lessening of a relationship that we're letting down with our contact with God? That's going to hit us. And the faith element will damage us too when we see things that we don't understand. Why did that happen? Why did God allow that to happen? And I've had situations I know in my life where I go, I don't know, but I'm going to refuse to doubt God. But it doesn't mean that Satan's not going to keep pounding at you. God, help my unbelief. That's something that we can talk about to God. Help me in that area that I can be strong in my faith, in my belief in you. In departing from the living God, but exhort each other daily, why it's called today, lest through any be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort each other daily. Maybe that could mean through an email. through phone call, through card, if we can't get together because we're so spread out. I'd like to do more of that, to set that as a goal, to exhort each other, to lift one up. How many people just get hammered all day when it just feels good to get a word of encouragement? How many like to hear, nice job, great job? I know my wife got some encouragement this week. She was written by her boss, such a nice note. I just said, wow. Because I know another person that talked to, he said, within the organization, you don't get a lot of kudos. You just do your job and you don't hear much of that. So I think it's very good that we encourage and look for ways to encourage and exhort one another. So important. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Something good about saying something nice to somebody. Can we put our guard up as far as how we respond to situations and instead say something nice? How do they say that? A little bit of honey here and there. That's what it says. Something nice. Nice job. And find ourselves encouraging all the time. Brings us to the fifth point. This is an attitude. Thankfulness. Be thankful. Be thankful. I told you already what I'm grateful for. Look outside, not for the lines at the restaurant, sunshine. I get sunshine, it's just like, yes, and I'll tease about it, free vitamin D, because it is. Sunshine, yes. Even if it's cold, just the sun, to have the brightness out there, then you can see the difference. Get the doldrums, get the clouds over, you're kind of going, and it kind of brings you into a mood, doesn't it? Sometimes you go, when is this stuff going to clear out? And then you do a check because you find yourselves complaining again. It's a natural Israelite trait. Going back to, I tell you what, those people in Texas, they still don't have their power on. So many don't have their power on still. You were all up here. I didn't know how bad it was. I knew some couldn't make it because of your driveways and other things. But we didn't get that in Knoxville. And then down in Texas, they got hammered. So I saw that. Then when I came up through the mountains today and I saw all these trees, I go, this was a bad ice storm. I've not seen that in the time that I've been here. So it got bad. And when it gets bad, and I hear that from people, I don't like to put people in danger. But it's very difficult to cancel services. But if I know it could put people in danger, and God knows that, we're to be wise as well. And thankfully, we can do webcasts, but as Mr. Frank says, I don't want to make that an easy thing to do. Because the Bible says, assemble together on God's Sabbath, unless you get something that is way out of the ordinary, the way is too far for you. And I've shared with you that testimony. And I'm not sure how much or if I could do that anymore, because this was back in my early days of the ministry, when I was sent to Houston twice a month for a five-hour drive on I-10. You know what's on I-10? Nothing. It's like boring. It's dull. So what did I do? Pop music in there. Not pop music, but good music, good Sabbath music, and a lot of meditation and a lot of prayer. I loved it. I really enjoyed it. So it was almost refreshing to me, unless I had to take all the family. Then I would leave on Friday and stay over there. But wisdom was used in there. I could do 5 hours. But I realized there are people here that couldn't do 5 hours. It'd be way too much for them. So it's measuring, again, where we are. And more of the attitude than anything else. If the Israelites would have just been more thankful and more exhortive. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Ephesians 5, I know you know that there, but Romans chapter 1, the attitude. Romans chapter 1. Paul's encouraged through all his epistles about being thankful. In Romans chapter 1, and verse 21. Romans 1, verse 21. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Oh, do I see that? How sad it is when I see a narrator for a creation-type program, and you see all the splendor of God's creation, and no glory is given to God at all. And I see some of the ridiculous statements that are made. I'm going, it's interesting. The guy's got a brilliant voice, but his heart's darkened. He can't see farther in his hand when it comes to God and his creation. I look forward to seeing this man and telling him about God, because the whole world's been caught up in that. They can't see that. They're looking at all the things of man, which produce emptiness and nothing, as opposed to the Spirit of God and the things of God. Psalm 100. In Psalm 100. Psalm 100. All the way through, just that chapter right there, by itself. Make a shout, joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that he is God. He is the Lord. It is he who has made us, and we not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, for the Lord is everlasting. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. That's the God that we serve. He's our shepherd. We are the sheep of his shepherd. Nothing happens to us without his involvement. Be thankful. Are we thankful enough? That's another one to think about. Thankful attitude. It'll change your physical bodies with the attitudes of not worrying, of being thankful, of exhorting, being positive. It does something to your body. You ever have those weeks where every day you get up and just things are not good, they're miserable? It doesn't have to be that way, it's a change of thinking. We can hurt, that's true, it doesn't feel good to hurt. But even that mentality can change as we go to God and ask him to ease our suffering. Once again, help us to be thankful. And you've seen people that all that they've gone through, they're still thankful. They're still grateful. What great examples, what lights. Because I could go, you know, I think I've got it bad. Look at what this person is going through. That's nothing I'm going through. Changes your old focus. And then to ask forgiveness for God for coming down and having that attitude. Sixth point, seventh law of success. Remember what that was, the seventh law, contact with God. You can never get enough of it. Never get enough. Through how? I'll throw the scriptures in here that we should already know. Our prayer life, how is that? As we approach Passover, good one to take a look at. How much? We've had prayer sermons for so many years. How much? Well, Psalms, it's three times, evening, morning, and at noon. Psalm 55, verse 17. I learned to memorize that one. Evening, morning, and at noon, while I cry aloud, and he will hear my voice. Daniel chapter 3, I believe it is. Daniel prayed three times a day. Is that a commandment? No, but it's a good goal. It's a good standard. It requires planning. If you're going to be at work, can I take a break? Can I go into the bathroom? Can I go somewhere? Can I go just take a quick walk? Talk to God for a little bit. Tell him what's on your mind. Ask him for your help that day. Have him be number one. Bible study, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Show yourself. Study to show yourself approved. That's why it's great to have this new Bible study lesson. Conquer it. Go through it and take it. Fasting, Isaiah 58 talks about the fast. You know what's great about that one? Though it tells you how not to fast. But it talks about the fast that will break the yokes, the tough ones. And God's people now that have been around for a long time, The easy ones you can deal with because you've practiced those. You know, we've had those little weights that we've had to start with, and God expects more, and He expects more. And sometimes when you get up to certain points, they can be really hard, really almost unbearable. To break those ones, you know, I tend to gossip too much. Well, you're admitting that you tend to. Don't tend to anymore. Break the yoke. Break the one that bothers you, the one, and ask God to help with the one that you can't see. You'll find that again in Isaiah 58, to break the yoke, fasting to break the yoke, the sin that besets us. And then meditation, Psalm chapter 1, very difficult in this day and age. You know what's a great one? I bet many of you, if I took a survey, are watching much less TV and much less news. That can be a really good thing. Do more meditation. Pop on a Ezekiel Bible study. Think about God and His ways. You know, the interesting thing I found just about going through Ezekiel is it brings up so many other things. I've watched those, and I'll share something with Dr. Levy. I thought about what you said here, and it really kind of ties in with what's going on in the New Testament as well. It's really kind of neat to talk about that and share that with each other. But our relationship with God, where is that as we approach Passover? Can we do better? I bet we can. How are we going to do that? And the last one, point 7. I could have switched those, but after we do all that, we have to be aware of something. It's called Satan's devices. And Ephesians 5 and verse 6. Ephesians 5, verse 6. This is our last point. Beware of Satan's devices. And sometimes I know one can emphasize things a little bit more. One might say, well, he talks about that a lot, or he talks about that a lot. Probably is because it's a lot on what's on somebody's mind. And I'm grateful to see in so many cases I'll hear some minister talking about that, or Mr. Franks will be talking about this, or Mr. Horchak will write a letter to the ministers. I'm going, that's exactly what's been on my mind. It's like that Spirit of God takes over, and it's just like that's where we're needing to help and to serve in that way where God is guiding us and inspiring us. This one here, don't underestimate Satan's power. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against things you can't see, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness and heavenly places. He warns us about that. It's broadcast in attitude. Sometimes you might not even think about this. You can go in and feel it. You can just feel the negativity and sense that, just as you can when you come to the Feast of Tabernacles or come to Sabbath services and go, yes, I feel the people of God, not in a weird way, in a very positive and uplifting way. I can get together with God's people that are hurting, and they're still here, and they're happy, and they're willing to learn, and they want to grow, and they're eating this up. And I want to encourage us to go forward. We have to identify the distractions and the stumbling blocks that confront us on a daily basis. This is a great time, super time. This can be better than anyone else. It's really up to us. I hope I've laid out some identifying things that can help you as we approach this. We've got a few weeks that we can really take a look at this. I'd love us to do better. To do so much better, to make this such a wonderful Passover that we can say the same thing with fervency as if I come together to eat this Passover, knowing the deep meaning, what this means, and in the future, how happy we're going to be. When this plan, just as Christ saw this, it takes the vision to see this. When He finally returns and we're going to be there with Him, how we can look at each other. Can you picture that? I can. I can picture looking at each and every one of you and smiling and go, you remember that? Remember we talked about this? Oh, I remember how you were hurting. Oh, I remember how you went through this. And it was just like, no, it was a training ground. But here we are now with our job. And you'll go, hey, God, guess what? God gave me this to do. This is where I'm going to be, and this is what I'm doing over here. And I'll tell you again, you're all welcome to my bluegrass planet. So if you need a break, the joy that's set before us that we can't even comprehend the plan that God has. And every time I try to think about that, I know it's more than I can even think. It's hanging in there. It's enduring together, encouraging each other, contact with God, helping us to see what's left in us. Where's that spiritual leavening that we can cast out and that we can grow and develop as Christians toward that soon coming kingdom?